Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. This is Organic Gardening for Beginners. My name is Jessica, and my goal is to get you out in the garden, growing some of your own food, some of your own flowers, and enjoying the process while you are out there. Today, we are jumping into a little discussion about soil and fertility and soil mixes and trying to take away some of the overwhelm that I know is out there hitting you all, because I've been getting a lot of emails and messages asking about what sort of soil mixture should I use? What do I do about fertilizing? How do I get my soil where it needs to be in order to start my garden this year? So we are going to jump into this in a very low-key, practical way that doesn't get too bogged down in all the details of what does potassium do and what's the difference between amendment and fertilizer and all that. Instead, what I want you to walk away from with this episode is a calm, cool, and collected view of, okay, this is what the basics of soil fertility is. This is what kind of mix I need to get my seed started. And if I'm building a new garden this year, this is what I need to do in order to get it to where it needs to be to receive all of these seedlings that I am buying or starting indoors. So from the get-go, if you are starting seeds right now, I realized that in my past episodes about seed starting, I didn't talk about a soil mix for it. I touched on it, but not enough to my liking. And so I'm going to share with you my recipe that I use for soil, for seed starting, that I love. It's such a good mix. And also, if you are starting a new raised bed, a budget-friendly way to fill that, and that goes for containers as well. And then lastly, I want to give you a very down and dirty prescription for what to do if you are working with an in-ground bed or an in-ground garden that needs a little bit of a boost before you start planting in it for this year. So those are my three goals. And we're going to keep it uncomplicated because analysis paralysis and overwhelm are not limited to seed starting dates and how much and where and how many that we've talked about in the past. And soil can be equally overwhelming. So we're going to keep it simple. So from the start, here's your seed starting mix that I love to use. And this recipe is in terms of parts. So it doesn't matter what volume or what measurement you use, whether it's 1 cup, 1 gallon, 1 bucket, 1 yogurt container, as long as you keep the parts in ratio to each other. So I do 4 parts of bulk material, which for me is coco coir. I used to use a mix of coco coir and peat moss, but I am finding that the peat moss is full of sticks and rocks and just not great. And so I have transitioned completely to only coco coir. And there is a never-ending debate of, you know, which should you use, because coco coir gets transported halfway across the world and peat moss is a non-renewable source. And I'm not going to dig into that right now. That's totally up to you, and the internet has plenty to say about that. But find a bulk medium, which really we're limited to coco coir or peat moss. And if coco coir is a new term for you, it's the brown husk of coconuts that's been ground up to make a growing medium. And I really like it. It grows well. It stays nice and light and fluffy. It doesn't crust over the way peat moss can do. And so 4 parts of this bulk mix, whatever you use. And then 1 part compost. And here, again, there's a lot of flexibility. You can use something like worm castings, which is worm poop. They're just called castings. You can use a regular compost mix, maybe your own compost, or, you know, you just buy a bag of mushroom compost or mixed compost from the store, whatever it is. You can use composted manure. Sorry, blanked there for a second. Cow manure, chicken manure, whatever it is, as long as it's compost, you don't want to use those fresh, or some combination of those. This year, I have found a compost that is amazing. I used to only use worm castings, but now I've switched to this, and it is called Seacoast Compost. There we go. It's made in Oregon, and it has like shellfish compost in it, as well as some forest finds, which are like bark and pine needles and stuff. And it just is the perfect texture. My seedlings are so happy with it. So the point of all that is it might take some trial and error to figure out exactly what works for you as far as compost goes. I do still love worm castings. I just like this Seacoast compost better. Or, you know, once our chicken manure and bedding is better compost because it's still too fresh, then I'm going to try some with that. And so you might find several different composts that you like, or you rotate depending on what's available. Point is, you need some sort of compost. And then I put in vermiculite, which is a natural rock substance. It's a, not exploded, what's the word? Expanded, there we go. An expanded volcanic mineral, as I understand it, or stone mineral. I would have to look it up if I'm honest. It's very lightweight. It feels a little bit like styrofoam, and it helps retain moisture in the soil. And I also use perlite, which really looks like styrofoam because it's white, and it helps provide drainage in the soil. And these, I do them in about a half part each. So we've got four parts of your bulk mix, coco core, peat moss, one part compost, or, you know, worm castings, whatever you use, a half part of each of perlite and vermiculite. And then I also add in a sprinkle of a few trace minerals and amendments. So I put in alfalfa meal for some nitrogen. I put in rock phosphate for some phosphorus. I use azomite, which is a trace mineral. Don't worry, I'm going to put this recipe in the show notes. I won't make you remember or write all this down. And then I have also been experimenting with putting in a sprinkling of mycorrhizae, which is a fungal spore that helps with root development. And in past years, I haven't used it, but I'm trying it out this year to see if I notice any difference in my seedlings. And that's what I use for seed starting. And this is not a sterile mixture because the compost has lots of microorganisms and bacteria and fungus and all that good stuff in there. And I prefer it that way. And the benefit to that is that there aren't going to be any weed seeds or potential disease pathogens in there. But I don't like it because the soil is not as alive. And that is typically just a mix of sterilized peat moss, vermiculite, and perlite. And that's it. So no nutrition, no microorganisms, no organic matter at all. And people have success with it. This is one of those you do you boo type of moments where you just have to figure out which one works best for you. So you can buy your seed starting mix or you can make your seed starting mix. It's obviously cheaper, but more effort to make your own. It's more expensive, but more convenient to buy it, in a bag, moisten it, and then plant in it. So like I said, so down and dirty. This is to get you going and not fretting about what nutrition do I need? What fertilizer do I need? Is this the right thing? Because it's go time in the garden and I want to instill confidence to just try it and see what happens. So now for the, you know what, I'm going to throw one more thing on there. You will need to fertilize your seedlings because the compost in the recipe that I just gave you, it will get your seedlings quite a ways, but it won't take them unless it's a very short shelf life from seed sowing to transplanting. It won't take them, you know, say 2 months of indoor growing. After the second set of leaves, like their first true leaves show up on the plant, that's typically when you want to start fertilizing your seedlings because you don't want to put them in a position to where they've used all of their onboard nutrition in their little seed and they've used up everything in your seed starting mix and then they are left looking around for more nutrition and getting hungry and not growing as well as they could if they had adequate nutrition readily available. So you can do a quick and easy fertilizer with something like a fish seaweed mix fertilizer that is just a liquid that you make a solution. Again, I'll put a link in the show notes. This is what my flower farmer teacher uses. It's Neptune's Harvest, I think is the name, and it works really well with seedlings. So seed starting mix, basic fertilizer for them until they go out into the garden. And then once you're going to get them into the garden, if you are starting with new raised beds, you can go the, again, convenient but more expensive route of buying bagged potting soil or raised bed mix from your garden center or nursery. And those mixes are all put together at the proper ratio of, again, that bulk filler, something like coquacore or peat moss, a drainage material like perlite or pumice sometimes, or sand, as well as the compost component, which could be a, just like your seed starting mix, something like a composted animal manure or a green waste compost, which is like the landscape debris bins that you put out on the curb, and the compost facilities turn them into compost and then sell them, you know, to soil makers. Or it could be a mix of both of those or other types of compost as well. And those three things together make a very nice raised bed mix. It's going to be really expensive to buy bags of potting soil or raised bed mix and fill a raised bed of any decent size, because you're going to have to buy a lot of bags and it's really going to add up. So what I would suggest doing instead is calling around to your local landscape supply service providers and see what sort of raised bed mix they have. A lot of them will have a specific mix. Some of them sell it as what's called a three-way mix, and that means it's those three components that I just mentioned of something for drainage, something for fertility, the compost, and something for bulk. And then you can usually find other specialized mixes that have different sorts of compost in there, or added nutrition, or an added fertilizer or whatever. But that's what you want to look for typically. And, you know, of course, just call them and ask. Explain what you're doing. Chances are, if it's a company worth going through, they're going to have a good recommendation for you. And they might even have a local mix, something that uses a product abundant in your area. You know, say you live in an area where there are a lot of cow farms, then obviously they're probably going to be using cow manure as the compost component. If you're out on the coast, maybe it's a coastal compost with like shellfish and algae and kelp and stuff like that. If you are planting out in an in-ground garden that you haven't worked before, or maybe you grew in it last year but you want to revitalize it a little bit, this one has a little bit more flexibility of what you need to do to get it up to snuff to plant. And I would go based off of either last year's performance, if you grew there last year, or if it's a new garden, what's growing in it now. So if it's a new garden to you, or you're, you know, starting a new garden, if there are weeds growing in it, what do they look like? Are they sad, scraggly, patchy types of weeds, or is it a lush, holy moly, I have a lot of weeding in my future type of weed patch? Because if it's sad and scraggly, then if even weeds look sad and scraggly, then that's really telling you something, that your soil probably needs some work. If they are lush and just growing like gangbusters, chances are your soil is in pretty good shape. In either case, you probably want to throw some compost on there, because a little more compost never hurts, and it's a nice way to kind of top off your soil for a new planting season. But if you fall in the sad and scraggly category, then I would highly recommend a soil test. And a soil test is a great overview of the shape that your soil is in. And you can buy little kits from Amazon or Home Depot. They're not my favorite because they're really inaccurate, if I'm honest. It's better than nothing, but if you have the time and or the bandwidth to do it, I would recommend getting a real kit that gets sent to a lab to get analyzed. And there are two really easy ways to do this. Probably more, but here's two. You can go through your local extension office, which is something that I believe every single county has in the U.S. that does all kinds of really cool things for gardeners and canners and animal husbandry people with resources and testing and stuff like that. Like, you can take your pressure canner in there to test that it's at the right pressure. You can get frost date information as a gardener, and you can get a soil test done, usually for free. If not free, it's so cheap. It's like $5 or less. And it usually takes a week or two to get your results. But you collect your samples of soil, you take it in, they analyze it, and they mail you or email you the results. If that's too many steps for you, then what you can do is buy a kit online and they mail you the kit. You take your soil sample, you stick it right back in the mail and send it off to the lab to be analyzed. And that's actually the one that I did when we first moved here last summer, because I wanted to see what shape our soil was in and organic matter and nutrition and all that good stuff. It's a great way to figure out what you're dealing with before you invest time, money, compost, elbow grease, sweat equity, all that good stuff into your soil. So for example, I'm in Oregon. We are on 2 acres. This property grows grass like none other. This property hasn't been used for really anything over the last several years. And the weeds and the grass growth tell me, okay, there's some nutrition here, but I still want to see what I'm working with. So I got a soil sample done or taken, and I sent it in through the mail. And it turns out that my nutrition is pretty good. There's not a huge lack of any particular nutrient. My pH is lower than I expected. It's a pH of 6, which isn't bad at all. 7 is the midline for pH for soil. It goes on a scale of 0 to 14. So I'm slightly on the acid side. And my organic matter is awesome. It's 4.5%, which sounds low, but the ideal range is 2 to 6%. So it's great right where it is. My big problem is drainage. And so as I am working with the soil, because it's got a really really high clay content, my protocol isn't so much to build fertility as it is to improve drainage by adding in more organic matter, adding in more compost that will dilute the clay content a little bit of right where I'm growing. Granted, I'm using a lot of raised beds because we have a huge gopher problem. But if I were for like our fruit trees and stuff that we're growing in ground, that's what we're doing. We are amending, not so much for fertility, but to add drainage and make sure that the fruit trees aren't going to just sit in a pool of water all winter. Long, long story short is I use that soil test to tell me, okay, I don't need to freak out about I don't have enough nitrogen or I've got too much potassium or whatever. This is what I need to focus on instead. And so by doing a soil test that can help you kind of get to that calm headspace as well of these are the facts of my soil. This is what I have to work with. This is what I need to do in order to give my garden the best chance rather than guessing or worrying, did I do this right? Did I add this thing? Is this too much, too little? It just, that doesn't serve any purpose. So if you can spend, I think it's $20, I want to say, for the mail away soil test, probably $5 or less for your local extension office, or buy the little kit for, I think they're $12, $15, I want to say, on Amazon, at Lowe's, Home Depot, and go from there so that you know what you need to add. Okay, so now I want to touch very, very briefly on fertilizer, because this is definitely an area where I play it fast and loose with my fertilizer program. Basically, I throw compost on everything because compost is awesome. I right now have been buying compost in bulk for my seed starting mix and for our raised beds because I am doing slow composting, which means that speed is not the objective with my compost pile. I'm dumping everything together. I'm letting Mother Nature do her thing. And after a year or so, it should be ready. And I need compost now. And so I'm buying it in. I don't have a super regular fertilizing program for my home garden. I usually put a little bit of all-purpose fertilizer. I really like the Dr. Earth brand or Down to Earth brand. Those ones are both really great organic options. I don't do synthetic fertilizer, so I don't have any recommendations on that side. But the all-purpose fertilizer typically has a balanced ratio of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium that I just put a little sprinkle in either the planting hole at planting time, or I just kind of broadcast a handful over the top of the bed, dig it in, and then just plant with what, you know, whether I'm direct sowing a seed or I'm transplanting a seedling. And if I'm totally honest, that is my nutrition program for my plants. And it totally works for me. And I'm like hunching my shoulders because I can envision the people out there that are like, that's not enough. That's too general. But honestly, that's what I do because I focus on mulching, on adding my compost, on companion planting, on leaving roots in the soil over the winter to decompose in place and add to that organic matter. That's honestly all I do. When I'm starting my seeds, I'm more particular because they are in such a confined environment of the soil block or the seed cell, and they don't have the ability, you know, to go mining for nutrients with their roots. And so for that, I might, like, as I mentioned, I have my azomite and I have my alfalfa meal, and I'm more particular with that. But once the plant gets out into the garden, you're on your own, buddy. You get a little bit of fertilizer in the beginning, and then, you know, hey, the worms are going to help that are in the soil by making castings. I'm going to help by giving you mulch. You're going to get regular rainwater. The soil mix that I planted you in the first place is awesome. And so there you go. Meaning I'm talking to my plant, not you. You know, I almost hesitate to say that because I feel like I should have this super intense protocol of I fertilize at this point and I do this and I do that, but that's just not my style. And again, this is why I'm saying this is a down and dirty guide to soil and fertility because this is how I do it. I'm certainly not going to say, you know, do this, that, and the other when I don't actually do that myself. That would be completely hypocritical and counterintuitive. Two things I want to add on to that previous statement is, and I've mentioned these before, I am learning about something called JADAM, spelled J-A-D-A-M. And this is an on-site fertility production method where you basically use weeds and particular herbs like comfrey and stuff and cover crops to have all of your own on-site fertility. And it seems kind of like a wonder miracle program for your garden because it costs essentially nothing. Everything is on site. You're using plants and soil and nutrients that are native to your area anyways. And it seems really awesome. So one more time, I'll leave a link in the show notes. I'm learning a lot from Hugh Richards, the British guy that I talk about all the time. His gardening style is right up my alley. And he's got a ton of information on it. And then additionally, the worm composting that I started last year, I have my little worm compost tower in the shed that they have successfully overwintered despite our cold weather earlier this year. But I am actually going to switch to in-bed worm composting because I need it to be more hands-off than what a freestanding worm farm is. And so what this does is it basically concentrates the worm's little home base and feeding station in the raised beds. I learned a bunch from Angela of Growing in the Garden. She's got a great YouTube channel, and she has several videos specific to how to do in-bed worm composting. And the plan there, or the goal, is that the worms take care of the fertility for me, you know, by and large, to where I hopefully don't even need to add in that little dash of all-purpose fertilizer at the beginning of the planting. By putting kitchen scraps directly in the garden bed, as well as, you know, some bedding and some bulk filler to kind of dilute the food waste, that the worms are going to come to that central location, eat what they want to eat, crawl back out into the soil, poop and tunnel and move nutrients around, come back and eat again, and back and forth, back and forth. And then the nutrition is even more on site, hands off. The worms are taking care of it for me. And so that's my goal for this year. Now that we've essentially finished putting in all of our raised beds, because we put in some more just this last week, my worms are getting a new home, and I might even buy in some more worms to make sure that every bed has a nice healthy dose of worms to colonize in there. So that's it. That was a lot of talking. It took me a few minutes to organize my thoughts and kind of give this to you the way I wanted to. So from your seed starting mix to getting your raised beds or your in-ground beds going to what sort of fertilizer I use and can I really speak to with any sort of experience, there you go. That is what I use. If you are looking for more specifics, I will leave a ton of resources for you in the show notes because I love learning from other people and I love sharing them with you guys because we all have our areas of expertise. But with this should be enough to kind of get you off the ground and quiet the overwhelm of, you know, what do I do? What do I buy? And all that good stuff. So I hope that was helpful. If you have specific questions, totally email me. Let me know. I can always do another episode, you know, addressing my experience and how I handle it. I certainly don't claim to be a soil scientist or anything, but I do grow a dang good garden. So, all right, get out there, get your hands dirty. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.